Hi, so I'm Justin Bland. I teach at Harding University in the Exercise and Sports Sciences Department. And it really is an honor here. The individuals that you are hearing from are theologically trained. So they go to graduate school to study the Bible. I went to graduate school to study the human body, specifically how we respond to exercise. I'm an exercise physiologist. So I study how the body works, and I'm ridiculously intrigued by the design of the human body, and so it is truly an honor to be here and talk about what I've learned and how I've applied that to this particular topic. I was told to speak about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we'll get there. So I teach a spectrum of classes. I teach wellness classes. Not everyone has to have a wellness class if you go to Harding. And I enjoy teaching that. Students don't like taking it initially, but it's a fun class to talk about a lot of different things. I also teach a junior level class called motor development. That's not with regards to cars, not that type of motor. Motor is in movement. So this is movement. Motor is in movement, how movement develops throughout our lifespan. It's a lot of fun because we get to talk about why we move. Then I teach a senior level class with regards to how we prescribe exercise to various populations, disease populations. And so my expertise is in the area of learning and studying about the design of the human body. And truly it is a humbling design. It's amazing how God has designed the body, and I get to study that, and I get to tell people about it, so it's pretty cool. And now I get to talk about how this is, in my mind, how these things are integrating in this world that we're in. So so that's a little bit about what I do as a profession. I've got we're a family of five. My wife's name is Heather. She's a physical therapist and a stay-at-home mom at the same time. Which is amazing. She is unbelievably gracious and gentle, a very incredible individual. And I have three sons, David, Joseph, and Joshua. David is 6.2 years old, Joseph is 4.3 years old, and Joshua is 6 months old. So obviously, I say those things for a reason. So yeah, I'm thrilled to be here. It's truly an honor. So. My topic is temple time. There's a Bible professor that I ran into regularly when he went to go exercise, Dr. Paul Pollard, and I would always run into him as he was going to exercise for years, and he would always say, "Gonna get my temple time in, Justin. I'm gonna get my temple time in." It's like, "Yes, sir. Getting your temple time in." What did he mean? What was he talking about? Temple time? What did he mean? I'll probably ask questions, and then also you then can respond. Or if you can stare blankly at me, we can switch seats and see how that feels. But, so what do you think he meant by temple time? Yeah?
The Bible classifies your body as a temple.
It does, doesn't it? That's strange, isn't it? Body talks about, the Bible talks about your body being a temple. So that's interesting. Yeah, think about that. My objective, I hope to be fairly clear about my objective, is that I want to bring to light the beauty of God with us. The beauty of God with us. Specifically, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I believe very strongly that this reality, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, changes the way we think about and use our own physical body, as well as the body of Christ. There's some interesting things, and this is how I want to go about doing it, just so we're all on the same page, if you will. I want to talk about what we believe and how that influences our physical body. And then I want to talk about your body being a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then I want to talk about we being God's temple. Those are my objectives. Those are my points today. So I'll try to make that fairly clear. So first, before as we're getting started, I want us to think about how we think. Think about how we think. Because this is very important. What role does our mind, what role do our belief systems play in how our body functions? So if I were to ask you a question, how do we respond to the world around us? You may articulate something like this. We have a sense, so like sight, right? Hearing, smell, some sense. Some event happens, right? And then produces a response. That's probably how you would articulate it. But you would also completely disagree with me at the same time. Because we know this is not true. Do you know why? Because the worst milk I ever drank was orange juice.
Why?
Yeah. And you guys all know this. Well, not my story. But you know this too. I love orange juice. Like orange juice with actual substance to it. You know, the pulp. You just take an orange, make sure the peel's off, and just... orange juice. Yeah, the whole thing, man. And then there's another camp that likes it to be orange water, which makes no sense. But whatever. The point is, I love orange juice. Milk's okay. But I love orange juice. This particular day, I went to grab this nice cold glass of milk, but it was orange juice. Right? You see, are you following? I believed it was milk. It was orange juice. But I knew it was milk. I'm excited about this glass of milk. It's going to be great. Right? Do you see what's happening? How do you think I responded to that? What? I'm dying. I would have loved that orange juice. I would have loved it. But I spit it out. Because why?
I don't know.
That's right. I believed it was milk. I would have loved that orange juice. But so really the truth is more like this. You have a sense. But that sense is mapped on top of a belief. Now, this is very important. Actually, that could have been a hashtag Deeper18, right? So go ahead and do that one, right? Right. There, yeah. Go ahead and write that down. So, hashtag Deeper, yeah. But we know this, right? We all know this. There's information coming into your brain, and that's mapped on top of what you believe. Then you have a perception, right? Which yields a response. What you believe influences your physical response. And you know this. You absolutely know this. Someone you love, that you care for, touches you gently on the arm and gazes into your eyes. Someone you cannot stand touches you gently on the arm and gazes into your eyes. Is your physical response going to be different? You better believe it. It's the same data. It's the same raw information. I love orange juice. That information hitting my tongue and my mouth and the olfactory nerves around my nose, and I would have enjoyed that. That raw information, the information about orange juice reached my brain, and I hated it. Why? Not because the information was wrong, but because my belief was not compatible with the reality. Right? Touching you gently on the arm causes a measurable physiological response. Heart rate, through the roof. Stomach, squeezing tightly. Expelling substance out because I think I'm dying. See? What you believe influences your physical response. Have I convinced you? Raise your hands if I've convinced you. Actually, maybe this is more accurate. Let's be a little bit more accurate. Have I articulated something that you already knew about? There we go. Okay, that's better. Okay, we're on the same page, because this matters, right? This matters. What you believe influences your physical response, your this thing, right? If you have taken... Now, I don't know your story. I don't know where you're at. But if you've taken on Christ, then you are a new creation. Truth. It's a reality. And you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you think about that. But this is a reality. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, allowing for untold, untold potential for personal transformation to go into all the world. I don't know what you think about going into all the world. I don't know how that resonates with you. But if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, then you have untold potential to go into all the world and make disciples. Here's a little test for you. If you cannot clean your own room, then how in the world would you expect to go and organize somebody else's life? Truly, you can't do it. Aha. But you can if you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You can organize yourself. And then from there, move forward. Tell me what you believe, and I'm skeptical. Show me, and I'll believe you. And this actually is for yourself, too. And you know this because it's true for me as well, and it's true for you. I speak here, but my actions are here. There's a difference between, and I don't want there to be, because that's deception. But who I am, who I'm at, and my speech is not quite where my actual actions are. And I know that's not just me. Right? And if you think you believe something, I strongly recommend watching yourself. You go and watch yourself. When your back's up against the wall, you have to do this thing. Are you gonna sacrifice integrity? Because that's how you really are. I have students come up to me and I'll present them evidence about them not doing their own work or what have you, which is a very, very, very big deal. And they'll say, I'm truly not this person. I was really under a lot of stress. And recently I've said, which doesn't go over very well, obviously. And I'll say, no, you really are this type of person. The type of person that makes this decision in this context, that's who you are. You've just shown me who you are. Of course, that doesn't quite go over very well. But it's true. Who are you? And your beliefs are going to dictate and have a lot to do with your actions. And your actions are going to show me and show everybody else what you really believe. Everybody stand up. Stand up. Okay, repeat after me. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Very good. Sit down. Do you believe this? Now, I don't know. I don't know what you believe. I really don't know. But do you believe this? 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. Romans 8. I need you to write down Romans 8:11. Write that down in some way, because I'm going to want you to reflect on this. Just write down Romans 8:11. You don't have to write down the whole verse. Really, to understand this verse, you need to read, you need to start actually in chapter 6 of Romans. Well, no, you really need to start in chapter 1 of Romans. Well, actually, you should pretty just memorize the Old Testament. Once you got the Old Testament memorized, make sure you have a really good handle on what's going on in the Gospels. At that point in time, you might be able to understand kind of some of something that's going on with Romans. So once we have that down, which obviously who does? If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. How many times you've read that? I really don't know, but listen very carefully. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Did you hear that? He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Give life to your mortal bodies. Through His Spirit who dwells in you. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? Because if you do, that's going to alter your physical response. It's going to alter your physiology. It will alter your physical body. It absolutely will. I need you to write down these three questions. So you've already written down Romans 8:11. Just write that down. I want you to write down these three questions. What would your life look like if you believed this? And you now know what we're talking about when I'm saying believe. What would your life look like if you believed this? And then the next question is, what would your life look like if you didn't believe it? What would it look like? What actions would you expect to see if you didn't believe it? And then the next question is, who will I be in 3 years? Who will I be in 3 years? That's the last question. Seriously, think about it. I don't want you to answer out loud. I don't want you to answer to me. But I want you to answer that question. I want you to think about those questions. If this is true, the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. What does it look like to actually believe that? What does it look like when actually you don't believe that? And who will you be in 3 years? What do you have? 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you haven't been given? Now that's a question worth meditating on for the rest of your life. In fact, I have this come up every day at 8:50 on my phone. What do I have that I did not receive? Seriously, what's the answer to this question? That's right. Who said that? Nothing. That's nothing. I have nothing that I haven't been given. Do you understand where that puts me? Do you understand what position that places me in? Gratitude. Utter gratitude. I have nothing that I haven't been given. How does that change my physical response to food, to everything? Utter gratitude. My son loves Legos. Loves Legos. Absolutely loves Legos. And both David and Joseph do too, and Joshua likes to eat them. So I guess all three of them love them. Loves Legos, and we were struggling with a particular moment in our time when I was trying to get them ready for bed, and they didn't want to brush their teeth. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And so Joseph specifically did not want to do it. And I turned to David, and I said, David, what if I built the best Lego vehicle of all time, and I gave it to you? Oh, and you should have seen his face. He was just, yeah. And then I said, and what if you smashed it against the wall? Dad, I would never do that. I would never do that, Dad. And like his eye, he was starting to cry. I'm like, whoa, that escalated really quickly. And it was what if, right? Hypothetical situation, 6-year-old. He's 5 at the time. But I would never do that. I know you wouldn't, David. I know you wouldn't. You would never do that. This is why we brush our teeth. Because you've been given something ridiculously amazing. This human body, this physical body you have, is beyond the entire humanity's capacity to understand how unbelievably beautiful designed it is. And you bear the image of the Almighty God. Did you hear that? You bear the image. Everybody does. You bear the image of the Almighty God. You've been given this. How are you going to respond to that? You've been given it. How will you actually respond to that? Are you going to throw it against the wall? Dad, I would never do that. I would never do that, Dad. Exactly. So what kind of temple are you building? What raw materials are you using? Now, this has a tendency for like everybody pack your bags for a guilt trip, and that's not what we're here for. I'm just asking questions. What raw materials are you going to use to build up this temple? So I have a body. Isn't that amazing? I know. That's how we should be walking around like all the time. Like, this is amazing. Of course, that would be crazy. Do you see this? I have a hand. You know. So I have this body, and it's awesome. But it's got stuff on it and in it. It's something, right? It's like it's physical, right? Where did it come from? Like really, where did it come from? Tissues are made up of cells, which are made up of molecules, which are made up of atoms, which are made up of quarks, which are made up of we have no idea. But it's made up of something. Where do we get that stuff? That is a true statement. God did make it. That's true. But let's That's exactly right. You have literally eaten your body. That's weird. Yes. The reason that you have the cells and the molecules that you have is because you've consumed them. You've eaten them. What are you going to do to build your temple? It matters. Your body responds to the needs of the environment. If you place your body within a stressful environment, it will respond and grow. How are you going to signal? How are you going to stimulate growth? Or are you going to stimulate growth? Does it even matter? Has anyone helped anybody move ever? You know how crazy hard that is? Helping people move is ridiculously exhausting. Exactly. Exactly. So what do you need to do? Hard work. What if you were stronger? What if you could pick more? What if it didn't exhaust you to do it? Has anyone ever worked in landscaping or do yard work for anybody? Right. How did it feel? What if you were stronger? Does this matter for kingdom work? Yeah, it does. You better believe it. It's the mechanism by which we grow. Well, it's the mechanism by which we signal growth. The mechanism by which we grow is this one. Sleep. How are you recovering? Seriously. How are you preparing yourself for the next day? These are questions that we need to answer within the concept, within the construct, within the worldview of your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. How are you preparing for the next day? What if you woke up refreshed? Like, seriously, what if you woke up feeling good about the day? You might be a little bit more patient with people you love. You might be a little bit more patient and forgiving of yourself. You might view yourself a little bit better. You may view other people a little bit better. Does this make a difference? You better believe, like, the difference. This is so huge. Sleep is the mechanism by which we grow. It's the mechanism by which we recover. You can exercise all you want, but if you are not recovering, you will kill yourself. It's the recovery that makes us stronger. And sleep is the mechanism by which we do it. There's lots of other stuff that's happening. I can't even... lots of other stuff that's going on. Not isn't the mechanism for physical recovery, but we're talking about neurological growth here as well. So sleep is a primary mechanism of neurological growth and what's called synaptic formation and consolidation. So it's how memories are developed. They've tracked what's happening. They put people through protocols throughout the day, then they measure their brain at night. Guess what they did? The same thing. What does that mean? The brain was processing what happened during that day. Do you see? It was going back through and sorting through this information, forming these synapses, making sure it sorted everything out. Do you see? What if you stay up all night to study? Like, memory formation and consolidation is a huge deal. Here's something, a lot of words, crazy stuff, don't worry about it. Effectively, it says sleep restriction, which is less than 6 hours. Anybody, I'm on less than 6 hours right now. Yep, less than 6 hours. You have a blocking of muscle growth and a enhancement of muscle breakdown leading to muscle loss and body dysfunction. So, less than 6 hours. There you go. We could go on and on about that. That's kind of my area. What thoughts are you sowing? What does this word mean? Sowing?
Throw seeds.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Throw seeds. Right. Plant. Ross Cochran, Dr. Cochran from the Bible department at Harding says, sow a thought, reap an action. That's worth writing down. Yes?
How do you spell that last name?
C-O-C-H-R-A-N.
Okay. I know so.
You know Cochran.
Yeah.
So Dr. Cochran says, sow a thought, reap. What's reap? Yeah, collect. Yeah. Sow a thought, reap an action. Does that fit with what we were talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so thoughts are interesting, aren't they? I'm going to be honest with you. The evil one has power. And you know it, don't you? And there are thoughts that we have that are evil. And we want to think about it. Truth. Right? Evil thoughts, we want them. We want to continue to think about it. What does that do? plants them, and it lets them grow. Any thought is like that. But for some reason, the evil ones are very intriguing, very enticing. We want to think, that's the nature of temptation, wanting to do something. On your own, you can't do anything about that. But if the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, was that a big event? Yeah, you know, physically impossible, that type of stuff, miracle. Lives inside of you, you can tap into untold power. It doesn't mean you're not going to want to think about those things. It actually means the opposite. It means you now have the tools to fight. So, you are building a temple. What will it be? You are building a temple. I don't know what you're using. If you speak truth, you're using brick and rock and mortar. If you speak lies, you're using mud. Both of which build structures. Is this life difficult? Yes, is a unanimous statement. Lots of head nods and oh my goodness, it is. Yeah, we call them storms. Storms of life will absolutely come. Count on it. Jesus promised that to you, John 16:33. Storms will come. They will destroy a mud house. If you're building your house out of lies and mud and deceit, you will be wiped away. If you're building your house out of rock, does that mean storms won't come? They will come, but they will smash against a solid foundation, and you will not be shaken. You speak truth to each other. Stand up. Repeat after me. We are God's temple.
We are God's temple.
That sounded really good. Well done. I feel like we should do that again. We are God's temple.
We are God's temple.
That is right. Have a seat. 1 Corinthians 3. Do you not know? Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy. Any of you in here with Kevin Burr previously? Holy, now we know what that means. You are that temple. This is a collective. This is collective. You are that temple. Ephesians 2 is a long one. Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone, whom the whole structure being joined together grows. Besides that word, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. A lot to say about that, but we'll keep moving. 1 Corinthians 12, one of the themes in my life. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all these members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ, for in one Spirit all were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. Not of one member, but many. You've heard this, we are the body of Christ. The dwelling place of God. This is a reality. What does it look like if we believe this? What does it look like if the church believes this? Like really actually did believe that? If we believe something, it changes our physical response. We've said that. What does it look like if we believe this? I don't know how you feel about this next statement, but I find it interesting. For all of human history, God has decided in some way to hand over, to delegate his own authority to others, to people. So when we say we are the body of Christ, we are the primary mechanism by which God works in this world. How did Jesus do it? How did Jesus serve? How can you serve? How does the body serve? What did Jesus do to heal? Like, generally speaking, how did he go and heal people? He touched them. That's really big. He touched them. Something is really going, very important going on with the hand. Which, you know, you've heard that, right? We are the hands and feet of Jesus. You've heard that. What does that even mean? What does that look like? Well, here's a picture of my hand. We're going to zoom in through the skin. So, that's actually not my hand. Drawing. The hand. Truly amazing. Truly amazing craftsmanship and design. I sometimes in class when my students are taking a test, I'll just look at my hand. I look like a crazy person, but it's unbelievable to me. So where are the muscles that allow this to do this? Yeah.
In your arm?
Yes. Not in my hand. You can even kind of see them down here, right? Isn't that crazy? If you can feel that. Isn't that nuts? Is it gross? I don't know how I feel about you saying my arm is gross. So, yeah, you can, but there's some tendons and things like that. The tendon. So we have something very interesting going on here, don't we? If these muscles right here, you can see them, right? If they're put in your hand so your hand can do it, you just have like this big mitten. And then you can do anything. You should try to shake people's hand. Right? Then you couldn't even do this. Oh, this is so brilliant. This is so, how much time do we have? Not enough time to talk about this. This is so brilliant. Let's think about this. Let's design a system. Look how thin these are. Design a system where we put all of this on strings and we move the string and then we create the engine way down here, right? Unbelievable. That's so smart. That's so brilliant. That's so brilliant. And now I've got this unbelievable amount of strength and dexterity and range of motion. It's truly amazing. But watch very carefully. If there was nothing else and we just had the muscle and the skin, if there's nothing else, what would happen? If I did that, right? There should be a straight line, right? There should be this massive amount of skin. Like, that should be really disgusting. You see what I'm saying? But there's something going on right here, isn't there? Well, yeah, there's a joint, but there's something else. Right there, there's this tissue, that quiet tissue. It actually creates a little tunnel by your carpals. Tunnel by your carpal. These bones are called carpals. It literally creates a tunnel. The bones are shaped in such a way as to create a tunnel with which these strings, if you will, these tendons that connect muscle to bone, go through. And it's just a sheath of tissue in the. It's quiet. And if it's not hurting, you don't ever notice it. You don't ever think about it. But it's doing its job quietly. You see? Quietly doing its job, and you never hear about it. In the background, really, really important. But that's not it, because now I can also do this, too. And this. Something going on here. Let me show you something which wrecks my head. So we're going to zoom in on these fingers and take a look at these tendons. I'm going to make one of them blank. Unbelievable. So these tendons, that one right there, is on from a muscle and travels all the way up. And right before it gets to, so you see you have these three sections of your finger. Right before it gets to your middle section of your finger, it splits and attaches to the base part of that middle section, and another tendon runs through the tunnel it creates. Now, how in the world does it know to do that? It splits so that another tendon can run through. First of all, they're cells. How do they know? Oh, I need to split. Oh, yeah, there he comes. There you go. Good, right there. No, they can't even see. There's no eyes, right? So we're dealing with a ridiculously, unbelievably well-designed system. of a whole lot of different structures working so smoothly and so well together, understanding each other's differences and knowing that I need to stop here so somebody else can go through, so we can do our job. So if I don't make, if this is running well, then this works, right? Then this works. You see what I'm saying? If we are the body of Christ, do you see? Do you hear what I'm saying? The differences, man, that's great. Every single person you see is an image bearer of God. Every single person is different. I love that. Good. If you see someone different than you, that's time to celebrate, because they can do something you can't. And together, we form the hand. And I get emotional thinking about it, because it's so ridiculously beautiful. It's amazing. John 17, Jesus is praying. He's about to be killed. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me. That's me. That's me. He's praying for me. And you. I do not ask for these disciples only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus is praying for us to be one. Man, I sure hope God answers that prayer. Listen. Jesus is praying for us to be one. Whose responsibility is that? Us. Jesus is praying for us to be one. That's our responsibility. We have a responsibility to answer the prayer of the Almighty God. That kind of hurts my head. Your job is to answer Jesus' prayer. How do you feel about that? Ridiculous. That's your job. You go and answer Jesus' prayer by being one. That doesn't mean don't have differences. It specifically means have differences. Specifically means to have differences and to be one. You see, what you believe influences your physical body. And you've been given this physical body, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the body of Christ is, we are, God's temple. We are the dwelling place of the Almighty God. And that absolutely changes our physical response. That absolutely does, to realize that. Here's the thing. It will not be easy. I spent 20 years of my life praying for motivation. So I'm not sure how many people are older than 20. But I spent 20 years of my life praying for motivation to do something, to do good. I wanted to feel motivated to do good. Take a wild guess how God answered that prayer. A resounding no. He didn't give me motivation. But he said, you do work, you do good work, and motivation will eventually follow you. I don't ever want to do the dishes. Never. I don't want to do the dishes after dish one, or dish two, or dish three, or dish four, but by dish five, I'm in the rhythm. I still don't want to do it, but I'm getting it done. You see? To choose good, Satan will attack you. Count on it. You will never want to do good. Count on it. It's a war. Temple time? All the time. It's temple time. Go be his hands.